in periods of dislocation, like we're seeing now, what you find is the public markets tend to overshoot to the downside. They adjust before private real estate, and they bottom and rebound prior to private real estate. So again, 2022, very difficult year. Listed real estate down north of 20%, private real estate up. We believe public real estate has overshot, and that's really where the opportunity sits today.
Hello and welcome to The REIT Report. I'm your host, Sarah Borgson-Quito. My guest today is John Miniman, Global Portfolio Manager at CBRE Investment Management. John is a member of the Listed Real Assets Global Investments Policy Committee and head of the America's Real Estate Securities Research Team. John, welcome to the podcast.
Sarah, thanks very much for having me.
So first of all, what are some of the high-level concerns that are swirling around the commercial real estate space today, including obviously the impact of the banking crisis on REITs?
Yeah, clearly a very topical question. You know, recently there's been a lot of press and angst around commercial real estate being, quote, the next shoe to drop. But what we're really talking about is the office sector, and more specifically, large assets and portfolios financed with short-term floating rate debt. Fundamentals overall for the listed sector, where office really represents less than 3% of the market, actually remains quite strong, quite resilient. So sectors like industrial, residential, storage, data centers, et cetera, you know, continue to deliver mid-single digits earnings growth. You know, where we do think the regional banking crisis is an issue is it's going to tighten credit availability. But generally, the private markets have much more exposure than the listed real estate companies do. Approximately 75% of the U.S. REIT market is financed via the unsecured debt market. And of the participants that use the unsecured market, over 75% of them are investment grade rated. And for context, since Silicon Valley Bank failed in early March, REITs have issued over $6 billion in the unsecured debt market. So again, for high quality sponsors, for well-capitalized players like the REIT market overall, the capital markets are wide open. Where we are paying a close attention to the impact of the banking crisis is the impact on their underlying tenant base. You know, the underlying tenant base of a lot of these companies are users of the regional banking system. So what does it mean to small and medium-sized businesses? How does it impact their business, their employment needs, and ultimately demand for space? And then maybe lastly, thinking a little bit longer term, from a positive perspective, tighter capital conditions, higher capital costs are going to significantly impact future new development starts. So what's in the ground today probably gets built, but once that gets delivered, you're going to see a real donut hole in new supply being delivered in the out years, similar to what we saw post the global financial crisis, potentially right as the economy is reaccelerating, which really could be a potential positive for the listed companies.
Interesting. Thanks, John. Given where we are in the interest rate hike cycle, do you see potential opportunities for REITs and listed real estate in the months ahead?
We do. You know, as a reminder, 2022 was a very difficult year for listed real estate stocks. The U.S. REIT market was down 25% in 2022. Global is down 21%. That's the second worst year ever in the modern REIT era. That was worse than equities, worse than bonds, and materially worse than private real estate. They actually finished 22 up 7.5%. When you take 22's performance in context with the earnings backdrop, earnings actually grew 11% last year. So when you take what the stocks did plus earnings growth, you actually saw a 30 to 35% decline in earnings multiples over the course of 22, which we will believe was driven completely by a repricing due to higher interest rates. So the listed market has taken a whole lot of the pain already. And while we don't have a crystal ball, I do have a high level of confidence in saying it sure feels like the vast majority of the rate hikes are behind us. You know, I don't know if the hike last week was the official pause or where there's more to come, but clearly with 500 basis points of tightening in aggregate over the last, you know, year plus, the fastest in Fed funds history, the pain has been felt. And interestingly, when you look at the forward curves, the market is actually forecasting several interest rate cuts in the second half of this year and even more cuts into 2024. I'm not sure I believe that. I think we're a little bit in the camp of higher for longer. But historically, if you go back and look at the last four rate tightening cycles that ended, so that'd be 95, 2000, 2006, and 2019, the listed REIT market started to gain ground before the Fed officially paused, really starting 3 months prior. So again, whether last week was the pause or the pause was in June, we're kind of there. And again, when you tie that to the performance of the asset class, the group tends to start outperforming 3 months prior. And then when you look 3, 6, and 12 months hence, both from an absolute and relative basis, the REIT market looks quite attractive relative to broad equities and relative to bonds. So to answer your question, yeah, we given the setup coming into 2023 after the pullback in 22 and somewhere around a Fed pause occurring, either has occurred or is going to occur shortly, we think that's a catalyst for the asset class going forward.
This is Sarah Forbes and Keto with a REIT report. Do you know the best strategies for decarbonizing the built environment? Are you interested in learning more about using AI in the workplace? Do you know how to effectively align your DEI targets with your business goals? Learn the answers to these questions and much more at Nareit's REITwork Sustainability Conference, taking place June 28th and 29th in Las Vegas. Join professionals in sustainability, CSR, communications, DEI, finance, and law for 2 days of educational sessions, roundtables, and meaningful networking. Register by May 24th to get the early bird rate and save on your registration. Visit go.reit.com/REITworks REIT report to register. That's go.reit.com/REITworks REIT report. Now onto the podcast. Can you talk a bit about the role that REITs play in conjunction with private real estate within an investor portfolio? And what are some of the ways you go about finding the right mix?
Yeah, so it's a really important question, especially given how listed real estate underperformed private real estate last year. And a lot of the work we're doing is trying to make the case that it's not go swap one for the other. It's that listed can be a real complement for a private market allocation. So, you know, one high level comment, there was a study done that said over 64% of the world's largest real estate investors are in choosing to invest in REITs within their real estate allocations. And why is that? So what does listed real estate give you? One, benefits of liquidity, superior total return and capital appreciation, ability to capitalize on mispricings, which, you know, we just talked through, given 22's performance and the group sitting at north of a 20% discount to NAV. You know, we really think there is a room as pricing. And then lastly, exposure to next generation property types. You know, the public markets now are almost 65% exposed to sectors that we define as next generation. So think data centers and towers, cold storage, life science, niche residential, et cetera. So unique asset classes that are going to be much more resilient from a cash flow perspective that the private market is underexposed to. When you put the two together, what you find is you get a superior mix that improves risk-adjusted returns, helps to balance liquidity, balances out volatility, and again, enhances that property exposure because the public markets is giving you exposure to a number of those sectors that, you know, the private market really just has not gotten large enough scale to. They're trying to allocate incremental dollars to those next-gen sectors, but it's hard. It takes time. It's coming. But right now, it's the public markets that offer that next-gen exposure.
John, from your perspective, what are some of the key roles that active managers play for REIT investors?
It's interesting. Active managers in the listed real estate space have added value over time. You know, it's one of the few sectors in the equity markets where active managers have proven to consistently add value, and that consistent alpha generator compounds over time. And why is that? REITs are a niche asset class with strong linkages to the private market, with 80 to 85% of commercial real estate assets still held in the private market. Self-promotion here. That's why we think being part of CBRE, one of the world's largest real estate platforms, really gives us an information and underwriting edge. You know, importantly, REITs are not a homogeneous collection of stocks. There are material differences in fundamentals across sectors, geographies, and even within sectors. As an example, you know, we just finished the first quarter of 2023. And to give an example of the sector dispersion that we see even on a quarterly basis, you had the storage sector that was up over 13%, and there was some M&A within, where the office sector was down 18%. So in a market that was generally flat in the first quarter, you had over a 30% spread between the best sector and the worst sector. That allows an active manager to really exploit these performance differences through active bets driving both top-down sector selection and bottom-up stock selection. And again, we think that's why over time, active managers in the listed real estate space have added incremental value.
Great. Now, John, we've covered quite a lot of ground, but is there anything else that you think is important for listeners to understand these days?
Maybe a couple of concluding points. There's clearly concerns around whether REITs track private assets. And I think, you know, we have some data that can show that in general, there's typically a three-quarter lag but REITs and private real estate have very strong correlations. I think what's interesting in periods of dislocation, like we're seeing now, what you find is the public markets tend to overshoot to the downside. They adjust before private real estate and they bottom and rebound prior to private real estate. So again, 2022, very difficult year. Listed real estate down north of 20%, private real estate up. We believe public real estate has overshot, and that's really where the opportunity sits today. And maybe lastly, tying it back to the strength of the balance sheets and business models of these companies. You know, I think there's some muscle memory around how the REIT group traded in 08 and 09 around the global financial crisis. The companies today are in very, very different positioning from a balance sheet perspective. Interest coverage ratios have never been higher. Average maturity of debt has been termed out, so they took advantage of lower interest rates. You know, average debt maturity is north of 7 years. There are companies with some exposure of debt rolling in 23 and 24 in general. They've done a good job of taking care of that. We've modeled that into our estimates of earnings. And as mentioned earlier, you know, the capital markets remain open. And even to the extent that the regional banking crisis slows capital formation, increased borrowing costs, that the public companies really do have multiple avenues of capital to access. So we talked about unsecured. They have access to secured. They can raise preferred equity, JV structures, common equity. We actually have a company in the healthcare space today announced convertible bonds. That's the first time we've seen that this cycle. And then maybe lastly, from a dividend coverage perspective, dividends are incredibly well covered. We've seen dividend growth. Our expectation for dividend growth in 23 is well north of 10%. We've seen some very large cap companies increase dividends already year to date in excess of 10%. So the companies are really operating from a position of strength, and couple that with the pricing dislocation that we see at, you know, north of a 20% discount to NAV at the end of the first quarter. And we really think the opportunity set screens quite attractive as we look out to the balance of 2023.
Excellent, John. Thank you so much for your time and your insights today.
Thank you, Sarah.
And to our listeners, if you enjoyed this episode of the REIT Report, please subscribe or leave a review on your favorite podcast platform.